Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, before we start, you might want to check out our other podcasts covering topics like personal development and minimalism, money, health, relationships, and more. So to optimize your life in other areas, just search for Optimal Living Daily in your podcast app. Now, on to the show. This is Optimal Relationships Daily, episode 1688, Finding Hope When Grief Feels Hopeless, part 2, by Reed Peterson of GriefRefuge.com. Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for joining me today as we look to finish part 2 of the post we began yesterday. I'm your host and narrator, Greg Audino, all ready to bring you the back half of this amazing article from Reed Peterson. Be sure to listen to yesterday's episode if you haven't already so you can have the full picture. But if you're all caught up, then let's jump right back in and continue optimizing your life. Finding Hope When Grief Feels Hopeless, Part 2, by Reed Peterson of GriefRefuge.com. Look for good things happening around you, especially ones that are unexpected. I'm a big fan of random acts of kindness. They create positive feelings for everyone involved. They're also super spontaneous and supportive. You personally don't have to be involved in the random act of kindness. Just keep your eyes open to witness good things happening around you. I've seen good things happening with the homeless being fed, dogs approaching strangers with friendliness and playfulness, and people giving away valuable possessions. Seeing things like these can bring a sense of hope, especially when feeling isolated and lonely. Getting nudged by someone who loves you. There's often someone in your life who shows up as a personal cheerleader at a time that you need it most. They emanate positivity. They encourage you to do things, but from a place of complete love and support. People like these help nudge you so that you have some momentum. They don't force anything. They only nudge. This is a special experience because it happens so naturally. It's a cliche to say that they are like angels, but that is often what it feels like. Their encouragement and nudging helps keep a flow to your grief journey. Although you know you're not fully healed, getting nudged helps you have moments of feeling better. This inspires hope. This special person has hope and faith in you, and that becomes mildly contagious. Borrowing hope. Similar to the previous way of someone nudging you, you can borrow hope from others. It's completely acceptable, appropriate, and okay to engage in grief counseling, join a support group, or lean on your spiritual community for additional support. Communities such as these provide a container to borrow hope from. You will often find interactions within these types of settings to be empathetic, warm, genuine, and caring. There are special people who give to your healing but don't take from your grief. Where some people may say things that are hurtful and leave you with the impression, the world has moved on, why haven't I? These special people do the opposite. They show up to you in ways that honor your pain and struggles, yet help you see glimmers of hope in life carrying forward. This can be very comforting. By surrounding yourself with people who have and exude these qualities, hope shows up as more of a possibility. You'll feel more belief from others that your loss will be reconciled. This will positively influence your own belief that healing is possible and hopeful. When something as painful as a loss begins to make sense, there comes a time when you realize things are a bit different than before, but in a good way. The shift wasn't distinctively felt like in some transformative way, but the perspective is more clear, and you feel more accepting of the truth of your loss. The initial shock and disbelief has worn off. You no longer feel a need to fight the truth of your loss. You're more accepting of the fact that your loved one won't come back. You embrace the hard truth that you will never physically see, taste, touch, hear, or smell them again. What replaces the initial shock and disbelief is an awareness that your emotional pain is a testament for all of the love shared between you and your special person. Grief and love now seem to be more bonded to one another. Much of the pain from grief is running its natural course. Since your love can't be expressed to them, it takes on a different form of expression. As more of your life is expressed and you continue to grieve, hope is alchemized from all of the feelings. You understand that, although now quite different, life does continue, and that it's okay to miss your special person as you move forward. Hope is found by honoring your own progress. It helps to track your grief journey so that you can reflect and look back on how hope formed and took shape. Everyone grieves differently. If you've wanted a roadmap for your grief journey, know that it is being created in the moment by you. One of the more helpful ways to track your grief journey is through journaling. Although journaling may not be for everyone, it can help you get overwhelmingly grief-filled feelings out of you. You can journal as little or as much as you want. It's really up to you and the intensity of your grief. The more you write, the more you may notice the intensity of your emotion lessen. Many people I've supported have stated that the intensity started with complete devastation and got worse for a while, but after continued efforts of journaling their despair, felt the intensity lower to a level that is more tolerable and manageable. Tracking your progress helps you look back to the times when you couldn't get out of bed or leave the house. Even if things are really tough right now, you can look back upon a time when you know things were worse to help remind yourself of the progress that you have made. Recognizing the small gains helps inspire hope back into your life. Please, keep in mind that the success or failure for your progress is ultimately up to you to decide. Please be kind and compassionate to yourself. Small gains are what makes the difference. Getting through grief isn't measured by drastic transformations. Healing grief is measured by your effort and intention. For your grief journey, the effort is better described as the ways you express grief plus the time and space you allow to honor your grief. By honoring your progress and being kind to yourself as you navigate this challenging terrain, you will find hope. In conclusion, I sincerely hope these tips help to support you in finding your own hope. Some may work and some may not. Your grief journey is like no other. Regardless of the way you end up finding more hope, please take it moment by moment and be kind to yourself. You just listened to part two of the post titled Finding Hope When Grief Feels Hopeless by Reed Peterson of griefrefuge.com. And thanks so much to Reed for a great rest of this post. I especially liked his thought today about when loss starts to finally make sense. Now, this can sure be a very relieving feeling, as we're always trying to make sense of things to better understand them. But beware of the pursuit of that. If things do start to make sense to us over time, that's wonderful. But we can really derail our progress if we are in such a rush to make sense out of our loss that we compound our initial grief and pain with frustration over the fact that we can't make sense of the loss. Instead, take time today, whether or not you're in the midst of grief and loss, to acknowledge the lack of answers that you have and will have. It is okay to be surrounded by personal and global atrocities and not understand how, on any level, they could have happened. This is part of the mystery of life. And though it might not be comfortable, it is the card that we as humans have been dealt. Some things are too big for us to understand or even feel like we understand. And if we can find peace with that, the times in which a feeling of understanding or true understanding do come to us are welcomed, but we're not enslaved to them. That's all for me, though, folks. Thank you so much for being here and listening through parts one and two of this article from Reed. I hope you took something from this article. And for those who do want more ORD today, be sure to tune in for our Sunday bonus episode, which is live now as well. I'll see you there, where your optimal life awaits.